As we begin and as we conclude this series, the emphasis is what our relationship in all of this is all about, an intimate relationship with Jesus. Jesus is everything, isn't he? Can I hear a big hearty amen? Jesus is everything. And that's why we have Pastor Sherry again and the privilege of hearing Pastor Sherry. Pastor Sherry, we welcome you as you close out building your faith for us.
This is lesson 17, letting Jesus know you. Jeannie brought us that song that we sang more than anyone else. We sang it this morning, and it captures the heart of this message. Truly, it's beautiful. We all want to know more about Jesus, all right? Is that true? Okay, about Jesus, about God, we want to know about him. But there's a whole other dimension to our relationship with Jesus, and that's letting him know us. For you to make the most of your lives, you must be secure. Your first fill-in is secure in your relationship with Jesus, your second fill-in. If you really want to make the most of your life, you need to be so secure in your relationship with him. When you experience that security, okay, the very first one, you must be secure in your relationship with Jesus. When you experience that security, then your heart will be overflowing with love for Jesus. When I'm secure in him, my heart overflows with love for him. And it'll be overflowing with love for those around you. Is that true? When you're really secure in Jesus, everything's right with you and everything, and you just spill that out to the others, the people you come in contact with. When we're not secure, then we show insecurity in our relationships with other people. We're hiding. We try to put up a front that usually falls down, and they see what's really inside. Oh, sometimes that doesn't happen. But how much freer we are when we're so secure in his love and we know who we are in him, that then we can let that love flow out to others. You must have the security of knowing, you feel in knowing, who you are in Jesus. Point number two, letting Jesus know you. I want to share with you another dimension in your relationship with Jesus. If you have your scriptures with you, you might turn to Matthew 7:21. I'm going to give you time to look that up. Matthew 7:21, New Testament, first part. Because I want you to see it with your eyes in your own Bibles. I'm not making this up. This is really what the scripture says, and it's something that so often in our walk with Jesus, it's totally overlooked. Not everyone that saith unto me, now this is Jesus speaking, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name, and in your name we have cast out devils, and in your name we have done many wonderful works. Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Whew! Powerful? What does that mean? They prophesied in his name. They cast out devils. They did all kinds of good works for Jesus. And he says, depart from me. I never knew you. Iniquity. What is iniquity? It's sin and wickedness. They called him Lord, but he said, I never knew you. I love it from the Message Bible. Kim, would you get me a glass of water, somebody? Please. From the Message, it says, knowing the correct password, saying master, master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now at the final judgment. thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message. We bashed the demons. Our God-sponsored projects had everyone talking. And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. Thank you. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here. Whoa. What does it mean to know? It means to be aware, to feel, to perceive, to speak, to understand, to know experientially, be acquainted with, to know in an intimate manner. Your two fill-ins are aware and intimate. Jesus isn't saying that they never knew him in that way. He's saying, I never knew you. In Luke 13:25, Jesus is teaching as he walks toward Jerusalem. One asks him, who will be saved? He told them to strive to enter at the straight gate. In Luke 13 through 26, he says, then ye shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in your presence. Thou hast taught in our streets. And he shall say, I tell you, I know not whence ye are. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. They are people who have fellowshipped with him. They have eaten together. They have had communion. They've heard him teach. And they've had doctrinal knowledge. Wow. Fellowshipped with him. Eaten with him. Had communion with him. Heard him teach. Had doctrinal knowledge. But that doesn't cut it. He says, you didn't know me. Is that what he said? Huh? You didn't know me? No. He says, I didn't know you. Matthew 25:1-13 is the setting of the Olivet Discourse and Jesus talking to his disciples about the end times. He tells them a story about the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. What does he say to the 5 foolish? They say, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he says, verily, I say unto you, I know you not. A little different twist this morning, right? Yeah, putting these scriptures together is very interesting. 2 Timothy 2:19, but God's truth stands firm like a great rock, and nothing shall shake it. It's a foundation stone with these words written on it. The Lord knows those who are really his. Timothy 2:19, again from the Message Bible, meanwhile, God's firm foundation is as firm as ever. These sentences engraved on the stones, God knows who belongs to him. The bottom line isn't, have we evangelized? Have we performed healings? Have we cast out demons? Have we built a church or known doctrine or even known about him? The bottom line is, your next fill-in, allowing him to know us. Allowing him to know us. 1 Corinthians 13:12. But then shall I know even as I am known. And the Living says, now all that I know is hazy and blurred, but then I will see everything clearly, just as clearly as God sees into my heart right now. I want you to listen to a letter. And when I say dear, I want you to put in your name. I'm going to read you a letter from Jesus, okay? Dear, got it. How are you? I just had to send you this letter to remind you of how much I love and care about you. I saw you yesterday as you were walking with your friends. I waited all day, hoping you would walk and talk with me too. As evening drew near, I gave you a sunset to close your day and a cool breeze to rest you. Then I waited, but you never came. Oh yes, it hurt me, but I still love you because I'm your friend. I saw you fall asleep last night and I longed to touch your brow. So I spilled some moonlight on your pillow and across your face. Again, I waited, wanting to rush down so we could talk. I had so many gifts for you. You awakened this morning and rushed off for the day. My tears were in the rain. Today you look so sad and alone. It made my heart ache because I understand. My friends let me down and hurt me many times, but I still love you. I try to tell you in the sparkling blue waters. I whisper it in the wind and breathe it in the color of the sky. I shout it to you in the majestic waves and give the whales songs of joy. I clothe you in warm sunshine and perfume of ocean fresh air. My love for you is deeper than the biggest want or greatest need that you could ever have. We will spend eternity together in heaven. I know how hard it is here on earth. I really do, because I was there, and I want to help you. My father wants to help you too. He's just that way, you know. All you have to do is call on me, ask me, talk to me. It's your decision. I've already chosen you. But because of my love for you, I will wait until you ask me. Your friend, Jesus. How many times is that so true? We go through an entire day and we don't open ourselves up to the Lord. We might even think about how great He is, but we don't really open ourselves up to Him. Number three, ways to open up to Him. David was called a man after God's heart. David and all the psalmists give us examples of how we can express our innermost. Your next fill-in is innermost. Being to God and to Jesus. How we can let Jesus know us. How we can let Jesus know us. How we can unveil our thoughts, fears, and souls to Him. Your three fill-ins there, innermost, let, and unveil. Do take the time. We take time for the morning news, to put makeup on, to shower, to choose what clothes we're going to wear, to decide which cup we're going to put our coffee in, to take in the car. We never miss our coffee, but the most important thing is Him. You must believe that God is who He says He is as you come to Him in prayer. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, if you come to God, you must believe that He is. You must know that He will answer you. Ephesians 3:20 tells us He is able to do more than we could ever think of asking Him for. It's called entwining, to be braided together with Jesus. Together is the fill-in. There is only one way. We need to spend time with Jesus. To stay, the next fill-in, stay in His presence and to you know, as Paul knew, that Jesus died to present you, and these are three big words and we need to memorize them. He died to present you, number one, holy. He died to present you holy. Woo! You're holy, Royal. Not because of you, but because of Jesus. You're holy. Hallelujah. I'm holy. Pat, you're holy. Doesn't it feel good? Yeah, amen. Unblameable. I love that one. Unblameable. Get under the blood of Jesus and I am unblameable. I always got blame for everything, it seems. Yeah, I didn't like it. But in him, I'm unblameable. And unreprovable. Holy, unblameable, and unreprovable, right out of the scriptures. Many times the thing that keeps people from God the most is their negative attitude about themselves. How many of you have ever had a negative attitude about yourself? How many have today? The shame and guilt which keeps them bound in a prison. A negative attitude is shame and guilt, and it keeps us bound in a prison. But you are God's friend because of what Jesus, the fill-in, Jesus did for you. You'll never get there by your works. Never, ever, 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 ever. Or by earning it, or by trying to deserve it. Receive his grace, his love, and receive the fact that you're his friend.
Amen.
You ask, how do I do it? I want to share some concrete ways to ensure that you spend quality time with him. Because I love you, Jesus, and because I want you to know me. To let Jesus know you, you must take time with him. Am I repeating it? Mm-hmm. You must take time with him. Sometimes you have to fight. Put little rays going out around that word fight. So you really look at it. Draw a big arrow to it. Do you ever have to fight for time with him? I do. I do because everything is more important than just being with him. And I have to push everything of what people are expecting of me, etc., away. And I have to fight to just focus on him. Man, you're shaking your head. Isn't that true, huh? Because we like to get things done. We're go-for-it people. We want to get it done. And we want to have all our ducks in a row. And we make lists, don't we, huh? And we want to cross off everything on those lists. But we really need to stop and take time to be with him. Daily. Daily. Amen. Take time. Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word I do hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord, more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Proverbs 8:34. Happy is the man who is anxious to be with me, that he watches for me daily at my gates, or waits outside my home. You need to watch eagerly for him. Take time. Fill in. Wait. Watch how? Eagerly for him. Be expectant. Focus. You know, I can be having prayer time with Jesus and my mind can go right during the middle of the prayer. Even when I go to bed, and last night I went to bed and I started to pray, and all of a sudden I'm in the middle of my prayer, and what are you doing way out here? You left that prayer, and I just left him just hanging there, didn't even probably finish the last sentence, and my mind was on lists and what I had to do today. No, focus, Sherry. Fight for that focus on him. Amen. Listen, number two, we need to listen as we take time with him. Isaiah 55:3 from the Living says, come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, for the life of your soul is at stake. Seriously listen. Get to know his voice. Statistics show that 90% of the input that people hear every day is negative. You don't even have to write that. You can just write a minus sign. 90%. And is it true? I hear a lot of negative things every day. Turn the TV on, listen to the news, and everything is negative. In this age, in this present darkness, you need to hear what Jesus is going to say to you every single day. Because, again, the life of your soul is at stake. John 10, 3 and 4. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls out his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. Talk. We need to talk to him. We need to talk to him. Not, the feeling is not to our best friends, spouses, etc., but to him. Psalm 5:3 says, my voice shall thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. Exodus 33:11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Make, the feeling is make Jesus your best friend. Talk to him face to face. Express your thoughts to him. The feeling's there. Make and express. We do it. Make Jesus your best friend. You know, what do you do to get a best friend? You cultivate a relationship. You hang around. You rub shoulders. You watch and observe. You do a lot of things for a best friend. Do that with Jesus, and then express your thoughts to him. Once you know you have a friend, then you want to tell him everything. Is that right? You want to share things with him. And that's what this is all about. We need to have that kind of a relationship with him. I will open my mouth. I will be expressive. Let's talk as friends. If you express your thoughts to him, can he say to you in that final judgment day, I never knew you? I don't think so. Because you're letting him know you. As we were singing that song that Jeannie brought to us, more than anyone else, we are expressing to him more than anyone else, Lord, I love you. More than anyone else, Lord, I need you. I'm talking to you, and I'm telling you these things. I am expressing who's inside. I am expressing myself to him. Right. Psalm 45:1 in the Living says, my heart is overflowing with a beautiful thought. I will write a lovely poem to the king, for I am as full of words as the speediest writer pouring out his story. The Message translation is great of this verse also. My heart bursts its banks, spilling beauty and goodness. I pour it out in a poem to the king, shaping the river into words. Moses wrote, the prophets wrote, the writers of the New Testament wrote, David wrote, and so also can you write to God. So he will know you. Sweet something. We're going to now start writing a letter to Jesus, okay? See all those little lines on your page that have a heart here and a heart there? I'm not going to tell you what to write between those two hearts. You're going to write. Let me give you some ideas about sweet somethings. Psalm 104:34 says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. We see a glimpse of sweet somethings in the Song of Solomon. Chapter 5, 9 through 16, as the bride describes the bridegroom, she says he's white and ruddy, his head of fine gold, his locks bushy, his eyes as the eyes of doves, his cheeks as sweet as flowers, his lips like lilies, his mouth is sweet, he is altogether lovely. Things like, you're sweet, you're my comforter, you're lovely. Compare him to nature. Write something that's really special, something that you don't want anyone else to know. And this is the time in the class where I say, kind of now you'll want to keep your notes kind of, you know, close if you don't want the person next to you to see what you're writing. Okay, you're going to write in between those two hearts, write a sweet something. If it's just as simple as, Jesus, you're sweet, that's okay. What do you think of him? kind of look up when you're done writing, and I'll go on when you're done. And you can go back and you can finish these later if you want to, too. Infatuated. Those who are in love are infatuated with one another. That's what was wrong with the Israelites. They weren't infatuated with him. They turned to idols, and he was angry. He is a jealous God who desires us. Your fill-in on that sentence is us, to be infatuated with him. Hosea 6:6 says, I don't want your sacrifices, I want your love. Love. Love, love, love. Let him steal your heart away. Write a little sentence now about how you're infatuated with him. And if you aren't, I highly recommend you just write a sentence saying, asking him to put that in your heart so you can be, so you are. Adore. Mary performed an act of adoration to Jesus. She came in with a jar of very expensive aromatic oils, anointed and massaged Jesus' feet, and then wiped them with her hair. The fragrance of the oils filled the house. When we adore someone, our eyes are on them. And as you'll see, there is a repetition in your notes. Do you see right there under point 7, it says the same thing as it did in the last feeling you had? He's a jealous God who desires us to be infatuated with him. Amen. Write a sentence to him telling him how much you adore him. And if you're having trouble, think of the things, the places in your life where he's helped you. Think of all that he's done for you. That's enough to adore somebody about. Salvation. Hero. See Jesus as your hero. Your is your fill-in. See him as your hero. Ephesians 3:20 through 21. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest, wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God, the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down through all the generations. Glory through all the millennia. Oh, yes. He is our hero. Keep your eyes on Jesus, our leader and instructor, it says in Hebrews. He is our leader. He's our instructor. He's my hero. He teaches me better things than the television teaches me. Psalm 138:7, though I'm surrounded by troubles, you will bring me safely through them. Oh, you are my hero, Lord. You will clench your fist against my angry enemies. Your power will save me. Hebrews 7:25 and 26, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, and undefiled, separate for sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Jesus is greater than any other. Jesus is my hero. He's better than Ichiro. Ichiro? I can't even say his name. Ichiro? Ichiro. He's better than anybody that we see or hold up as heroes in this world today. He has saved us from condemnation, from trials, from temptations. Now let's allow him to be our hero. He's able. He's a powerful leader. He's a deliverer. write a sentence to him describing how he has been or how you see him in the future being your hero. Tell him you're a hero. He's your hero in a sentence. For some of you, this is probably a pretty hard experience. You maybe never done this before. But rejoice, you're on your way. You're letting him know your thoughts. You're letting him know you. You're letting him know your innermost thoughts. Intimate. Be intimate with him. In the Song of Solomon, we see the bride talking to Jesus. The girl says, I am my beloved's, and I'm the one he desires. Woo! She's confident, isn't she? The more time we spend with him, the more confident we can become of who we are in him. John was intimate with Jesus. John 13:23 says, Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Get that. He was writing it. Writing about himself. And says, one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Jesus loved me just a little bit more. John 13:23. John said, since I was sitting next to Jesus at the table, being his closest friend. Psalm 61:4, I shall live forever in your tabernacle. Oh, to be safe beneath the shelter of your wings. This is talking about intimacy with him. You know, Jesus will never scold us for being too intimate with him. He wants us to feel that closeness and for us to enjoy being close to him. I'm going to write and express that intimacy with him right now. If you've never had this experience of intimacy with him, just in your sentence, ask him for it. Jesus, I would like to experience what she's talking about with you. I would like to know you in an intimate way. To desire him, to love him, to long for him, to thirst for him. Ten. Passionate. Be passionate with him. Psalm 63:8 expresses passion. Talks about ardent, adoring, strong desire, boundless enthusiasm and fervor. I hold on to you for dear life as you hold me steady as a post. Always dreamed of a room in your house where I could sing for joy to God. Glory to God. As the deer pants for the water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. Where can I find him to come and stand before him? That was from Psalm 42, 1 and 2. Psalm 84:2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. God has put a passion within each and every one of us for him. We need to experience that. We need to turn away from the passions of the world, things that take us away from him, and turn that passion to him. Amen. Write a sentence telling Jesus of your passionate desire to be closer to him. Ask him for it if you haven't already experienced it. Two to go. Number 11, imaginations. It's okay to have thoughts and imaginations about Jesus as you fill in. Psalm 63:6, the psalmist says, I lay awake at night thinking of you. Psalm 104:34 says, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Close your eyes for just a moment and just see Jesus. Maybe you're walking along a field with him. With those pretty yellow flowers in the field. They're so bright and beautiful. They're called dandelions. It's such a shame they're weeds. They're so pretty. Maybe you're in a boat sailing. Some of you have pictured something. Just write a sentence about what you just pictured. Number 12, secrets. Tell him your secrets and take time. Time is your friend. Time to listen to his. This is the ultimate in real friendship. Tell him your secrets and take time to listen to his. This is the ultimate in real friendship. Psalm 44:21 says, "For he knoweth the secrets of the heart." Luke 8:10 says, "And he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and in hearing they might not understand." Jesus loves to tell us secrets about the kingdom. He really loves to share what's coming with us if we'll take time to listen. But he wants to hear our secrets too. And if you tell him a secret, again, can he say, "Depart from me? I've known you've done all those things, but depart from me because I never knew you"? Tell him a little secret. Start telling him secrets. So write just a little secret that maybe nobody else knows. And if you don't want to write it because you don't want the page to be found, make marks on your page. Just, you know, hieroglyphics. So now you've told him a little secret that nobody else knows. Delight in being friends with Jesus. Let him know that you need him and that you really want him in your life. 1 Corinthians says, 13:12 says, "But then I shall know, even as I am also known." In that day, I don't want him to say to me, nor do I want him to say to anyone whom I've had the privilege of ministering to in this life, I never want him to say, "I never knew you." I never want Jesus to say that. I want to open up my life to him. Not to other people necessarily. I want to open up my life to him so he can say, "I know you, girl. I know you. And you have expressed yourself to me. I am the only one. You are the only one that can love God how he wanted to be loved when he created you. He put a capacity within you to love him." I'm talking about DNA. That's God DNA. And we need to express ourselves in the way he made us, because nobody else was created quite the same. Express yourself to him that he might never say to you, "I never knew you." I want you to just put your papers down for just a minute, close your eyes, and listen to this song that was written especially for this message. Listen to the words.
I will tell you everything. First, my fears, my hurts, my dreams, my secret things. I am showing you my heart, revealing all the deepest parts that this life brings. Jesus, I'll let you know me in all my ways. Jesus, I'll let you know me. know me all my days. Jesus, here's my heart, you every part. Jesus, I will let you know me. I will tell you everything, my hopes, my fears, my hurts, my dreams, my secret things. I am showing you my heart, revealing all the deepest parts that this life brings. Jesus, I let you know me in all my ways. Jesus, I let you know me all my ways. Jesus, here's my heart, filled every heart. Jesus, I will let you know me. Jesus, I'll let you know me in all my ways. Jesus, I'll let you know me all my days. Jesus, here's my heart, filled every part. Jesus, I will let you know me. Jesus, I will let you know me. Jesus, I will let you know me.
Amen. Keep saying this to Jesus over and over. Jesus, I'm going to let you know me. And in that day, he will never say to you, I never knew you. Instead, he'll say, come on! Let's do what the Father has planned for us. Amen.